If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with someone who is does something actually fairly similar to what I'm doing here on this show, and I'd been meaning to get back in touch. I was a guest on your show on UMFM a while back, and it's kind of about time we returned the favor and have you on my show. But we're not just going to talk about that. I mean, I'll get you to introduce yourself in a second, but you're also a musician. There's a lot of things we can discuss here. So I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what it is you do, I guess, as an artist and as a radio host.
Sweet, yeah. My name's Gareth Rice. I'm a musician. I play the piano. I just graduated from the U of M Jazz Studies program, and I have a group called the Wild Rice Quartet. We just played at the Jazz Festival this year. It was a lot of fun. And in addition to all my music stuff, I also host a radio show on UMFM called Canadian Suite, where I program music and interview musicians, just talking about their career and like what they've been doing, their like music, what they've like different stuff, that kind of thing.
Cool. And yeah, so I was on your show, I guess, was it last year or was it this year? I can't even remember anymore. It was a while back though.
I think it was last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And yeah. I was very excited to be on it because, I mean, you know, you're talking to established jazz artists, and I'm this guy who kind of likes jazz on the side, mixed in with all the other stuff I listen to. And so it was very cool to be invited on your show. And just in listening to your show, maybe that's a good place to start. I mean, you're not just focusing on local artists. You're talking to jazz players from sort of all over the place. What is the origin of the show? Like, how did you get this started?
Yeah, I guess the origin of the show can be kind of traced back to John Gordon.
Okay.
Because he sent out an email to a bunch of the, different people and asking, oh, it'd be really interesting. I was talking with Jared from UMFM about doing a jazz radio show. And I was like, oh, I could do that. And I was like, I'd be interested.
Yeah.
Because I'd always been really interested in like radio. I was a weird kid where I didn't listen to like music. I listened to like just radio shows. So that kind of got me interested in like the Star Wars audio dramas.
Sure.
So I was like, I like asking questions. We'll see how this goes. And then I sent in like program to start, and that's how it kind of started.
Cool. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I guess for the interviewing part, I think it was when Eric St. Goddard, he had an EP out called Perspectives, and he messaged me about playing it on the show. And he also mentioned that it'd be cool to do an interview. And I was like, interview? I've never done an interview before. And then my dad kind of convinced me into doing it, because he's like, you like asking questions, right? And I was like, sure, yeah, I'll see how this goes. And I've met Eric before, so. And then he did the interview, and then I was like, oh, John has a new record. I know John. I'll try doing an interview there. And then, like, Fred has a new record. Let's ask Fred about that. And Tatiana has a new record, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah. And obviously, you've gotten better at it, too. I mean, like, you definitely don't sound like a sort of a new to interviewing at this point, because you've done so many of them now. Where did you get these contacts from? Because obviously the people you played with, through your studies and the professors and things like that. But I mean, like you said, you've just finished your jazz studies, right? So, I mean, you were a student throughout most of the time the show has existed. So where do you find, like, how are you reaching out to these people? You're finding people from across the country, from elsewhere. What's sort of the, what's your strategy for, tracking down guests?
Part of it is just cold calling emails, like send it like, hi, my name's Gareth Rice. I run a radio show. Would you be interested in doing an interview? And I guess kind of timing that to like if they have an album out or if they have like a new project out that they're interested in. And I guess part of it also is like there's different publicity firms. I got some referrals from Michael, who works at UMFM. and I got contact with, I got in contact with some of them, and also Orange Grove Publicity as well.
Yeah, they've helped me out with a few interviews as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're great. Because they do a lot of work for Canadian and like non-Canadian artists. So I guess kind of just keeping on track with that and like emailing them whenever there's a new artist I want to interview or play on their show, kind of thing.
Have you, do you have sort of artists like that are in bucket list interviews you'd like to do? Like, are you, obviously you're doing regular interviews, but are there people sort of on a higher echelon that you would love to talk to that you haven't maybe reached out to yet, or you have and you haven't heard back? Like, is there sort of a dream guest you'd like to have?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's a ton. I guess I try to keep my expectations pretty medium. Like, I don't want to hype myself up too much because it can be kind of tricky when you want to like interview somebody and like you know that you'd have like good questions for them, they'd be a good person to talk to, and you don't get a response back.
Yeah.
So I guess I try and keep my expectations in check, and then I start kind of ramping up the expectation meter. If they have a new project out, then it's like, and I try emailing them, and if it's like, if that doesn't work out, then that's fine. You just kind of roll with the punches kind of thing.
Yeah, you go into the next potential guest for sure. I definitely know the struggle. Yeah, yeah. So now that you're finished the jazz stuff at university, do you intend to continue doing the show? Because I mean, the show is, I know it's on campus, but it's a campus community station, so you don't have to be a student to run a show there. Are you hoping to continue with it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's been one of my favorite parts of, not my degree, but like parts of like things that are related to my degree, kind of.
Yeah.
Because I just getting to talk to different musicians and like getting to hear their stories in addition to like just playing music. It's been like a whole other different kind of side to like, I guess, jazz music that I've never really considered before.
Yeah.
And that's been really, I've really been fortunate in like just getting to interview so many different people and stuff.
Well, I want to get into your own music in a second, but have these interviews, have they contributed to sort of, have they affected your sound in any way as far as, you know, the way that you've approached music after talking to all these people and getting their insights and their points of view on the way they approach jazz? Has that seeped into your own playing, or whether it's like, you know, consciously or not?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think kind of, I guess in a kind of a direct way where I hear like an artist talking about a tune, or like I hear like an album and I'm like, that's a cool tune, I'd like to play that with my quartet. And then I think one of the tunes I played at the jazz festival last year called Shovel Pants, that was by Mike Rudd, who's in Vancouver. And there's a really cool tune he played with Peter Bernstein. So I was like, yeah, it would be a great tune to play. And I guess in a more conceptual sense, I guess, yeah, it's been really cool just getting to hear different like takes on like how they kind of figure out like composition and like how they conceptualize like playing with different people. And that's kind of influenced how I kind of write.
Okay.
Or how I kind of think of like band leading.
Okay, that's cool.
So
yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Well, what is, I know we just kind of talked about the origin of the show, but what's your background in jazz? Obviously, you've been studying it. You've been playing a lot of shows. You're a band leader. You're talking to jazz musicians. You're very immersed in this. What was the in to jazz for you? Like, when did you get into it, and what was the appeal, I guess, as a player?
Yeah. The funny thing is, I don't remember how I got into jazz. I remember what I did that got me like into like the U of M, and okay. I remember doing jazz camps, jazz collectives, like with like, but I don't remember exactly it said I want to do jazz. I don't remember. The aliens erased my brain. but I think the closest thing I can kind of narrow it down to is the Vincent Massey jam sessions.
Okay.
That really kind of inspired me. And I guess like the jazz camps, the jazz collective as well at U of M, and then like, I know about the jazz camps at U of M. I've been there, so I want to study here. Because I used to do classical.
Okay.
And that was a big kind of, I really enjoyed it for a while, and I wanted to do more improv stuff. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of how it started.
Okay.
I guess it got implanted in my brain.
Right, something happened that's been erased now, and you're too deep into it to go back.
Thank you.
Was jazz something you listened to like when you were younger though? Like, was this something that was sort of in the background of what you were doing in your life at all?
Actually, no, not really. It was mostly classical because my dad was a big, he got me really into classical. Like we'd hunt down like CDs and like he got me into like Beethoven and like listening to a bunch of stuff. I think it was kind of listening to video game soundtracks that kind of got me interested in jazz, like the harmony, especially like different, like Kirby Superstar Ultra, like Zelda, Mario, Final Fantasy. Like hearing that harmony, I was like, oh, I've never heard this in a classical piece before. Or like with John Williams, like Star Wars and stuff.
Sure.
And then I think it was just like, oh, jazz is improv. I like doing improv. So let's connect these two things. And then I think it was when I heard McCoy Tyner playing on The Real McCoy. That was like a huge like eye-opening moment for me.
Okay.
And like playing hearing Herbie Hancock, like Oscar Peterson, that was like huge. And that kind of like was a big watershed moment, I guess.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the video game stuff because I'm not a gamer. I've always been bad at video games, so I never really got into them. Just the hand-eye coordination never worked for me. So I never really got too deeply into the whole video game thing. But it seems like it's a very common thing at this point in time for people to have been influenced by video game music, whether it's just the music composed for the games or like in later years when they started having actual real songs on there. I know tons of people who've discovered bands from video games. And to me, as someone who doesn't play them, that blew my mind when I first heard about that because, you know, I don't think about it. I think about it as you're doing the game, but there's obviously this whole other audio sound side to it that is obviously influencing younger people sort of because that's what they grow up hearing, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. There's a huge video game music scene, especially for like bands and stuff where it's like they can hear the harmony and kind of apply it in a kind of like a jazz standard kind of way and like in a jazz fusion sense too. And there's like really good examples. Like Chrono Trigger is a really good big one, like jazz harmony soundtrack. Like the Final Fantasy games, Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. There's like a bunch of different examples that like people have like kind of latched onto. And even if you don't know if it's like a jazz kind of influenced soundtrack, like someone can say, "Oh, this harmony is really interesting. I like this."
Right, right.
And it might kind of hit them to something else, like Herbie Hancock or Anomaly or something.
Yeah, that's cool. It's something like I said, something I never considered, but I mean, my kids play video games now and I hear stuff on it and it's, you know, these are songs on the records that I have, you know, in my mom on my shelf and they're listening to it via some video game. It's crazy. When it comes to your own, your quartet, how long has the quartet been around? Is it the same lineup sort of consistently or do you change players in and out?
Yeah, it's been the same lineup pretty much. I think the idea for it kind of started, I think when my fourth year, when Liam and Dan were in the same group that I was, and Fabio Rignelli was leading it, and we just kind of bring in tunes, and I know we like the sound of each other, like just playing with each other with different tunes, and like getting really into like Thelonious Monk.
Okay.
And then I'd pull out some weird kind of like piano stuff, and Fabio was like, "Oh, there's Wild Rice doing it again." And then I think I was like, "Oh, it'd be cool to play the jazz festival with these guys and like with Tatiana." So. What's a good name? And oh, the Wild Rice Quartet. So that's so Fabio is credited as I guess the inspiration for the name, I guess.
Cool.
And yeah.
What? How often do you play? Because I mean, I'm sure I've seen you. I think I saw you at a Red House show. You guys played a Red House show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at that, and that was cool. And I've seen your name on a couple years now, Jazz Fest posters. How often are you actually out there performing?
I'd say not as much as I'd like to, I guess, because it's kind of tricky for like quartet gigs to kind of go around like Winnipeg. So we mostly just played at like Jazz Fest and like Red House, but I definitely like to play more, but I guess it depends on like the Winnipeg scene.
Yeah.
Like who to contact, like where to play kind of thing.
Well, that's something that I always kind of, just because I talk to people from jazz to country to death metal to hip hop to whatever, I think that a lot of people, regardless of genre, are trying to figure out where they fit within the local music scene. There's so many venues, so many shows happening, but if you play something that's kind of not in the standard, you know, roots, country, bluegrass, or metal, punk, hardcore, those are sort of like the main areas where there's shows happening all the time, and then everyone else is trying to figure out where they fit sort of within the larger ecosystem. It would be cool to see, I've always wanted to see a jazz band playing at like a punk show or something completely like incongruous, you know, like a hip-hop show or something. Have you like considered sort of reaching out into the other areas of the local music scene and then trying to get shows there?
I've considered it, but I haven't actually like started doing it yet, but that'd be cool because I know there's like a huge scene at like Park Alleys right now. And there's like a jam session there. There's like the Handsome Daughter. Well, I guess it's different, but like there's like a bunch of different like clubs around the place you could try.
It would be,
cool. Just need to like,
So what, I guess what are you influenced by? I mean, like you mentioned the video game thing, you obviously mentioned a few piano players that are, you know, sort of like the big boldface names that got you interested in doing this. What are you listening to now? What's inspiring the quartet at this point in time?
I guess the general idea of like the set list I think of when I figure out like music is I want to kind of highlight semi-obscure standards or semi-obscure tunes that aren't really played as much.
Okay.
Within like a mix of like, I guess, well-known stuff and like originals of the Mood Strikes. So I guess kind of like trying to highlight that a bit. I guess for the example for what I was like, just talking about, the Jazz Fest show we just did, the first tune we did was called The Firefly by a person named Emily Remler.
Okay.
And she's like this underrated guitarist who's really inspired by like Wes Montgomery and Grant Green and like didn't really get the recognition as much until like later, but I love her tunes. So that was like big. And then I guess I like playing video game. I like arranging video game tunes as well. So if I can sneak one in there, then it's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And then I guess recently I've been checking out like a bunch of different stuff like Paul Simon, Billy Joel, McCoy Tyner, Brad Meldow. Alan Holdsworth is like a huge, huge guy for me. Kurt Rosenwinkel, Pat Metheny, like there's a whole bunch.
Cool. Yeah, and those are all sort of different subgenres and stuff too, right? I mean, even the ones you mentioned who are within the jazz umbrella, they're all doing different stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, I often go down like listening rabbit holes. It's like insane. My algorithm is really weird. Right now, like my YouTube algorithm is just like tracker music, like from old like video game stuff.
Okay.
Like, completely out of what I was just, completely separate from what I was just talking about.
Do you, I mean, I know we're talking about the quartet here, but do you, are you able to do this stuff live solo? Like, have you performed solo on just you and a piano, or do you prefer having sort of the group with you? Because I imagine, obviously, it would work. People clearly do that, right?
Yeah, I guess not as, like, I've done, like, some solo piano stuff before. Like, I've played at the Hoopenhauer Folk Festival a couple of times. And I've done, like some gigs like Thomas Hines and, like, so I've definitely done like a lot of solo stuff. So I'm pretty used to it, I'd say. But I don't know. You mean like in terms of like the quartet thing?
No, or I mean obviously the quartet is a quartet. There's four of you, but I mean I guess like a better way to approach that question maybe is: do you have a preference? Like, are you like quite happy and comfortable playing solo gigs, or would you rather have the group with you? Like, is it? It's obviously a different vibe for you and for the audience, right? Like, which one do you prefer?
I'd say personally, I definitely prefer playing in like a quartet because there's more, I guess, community. You can kind of like react to different people.
Yeah.
And like kind of like play off of them a bit more. And then playing solo, like solo is fun, but the thing about playing solo for very long is that your back starts to hurt because you have like no back support or anything. If you're playing duo, then like that doesn't really matter as much because you can like react and it's like, it's not as big as like a quartet, but it's like there's still like a sense of like two people playing together.
Right. It's not just you playing the whole time. You're acting with another person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. What is the sort of the next, what's in the cards for the quartet? Like, are you planning on doing any recording, releasing any albums, EPs, singles, things like that?
Yeah, I think the next step is, I guess Dan's currently going, he's going to New York City in August to do his master's.
Okay.
So I think it'd be really cool to do a recording kind of as like a snapshot before he leaves for NYC, just to like, just record, just to have like kind of fun, like not an album, but like just a couple of tunes to play in.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, because I mean, it helps as a calling card, right? At least even if you have those tunes, yeah. You can be like, well, this is what the quartet sounds like. You know, give us a show at... whatever venue you're going for, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just like something to like, I don't know, cap off the year or whatever.
Yeah,
or,
totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. If people want to hear your show, I mean, I know we kind of switched gears to talking about the group now, but I mean, EOFM 101.5 in Winnipeg is, I recommend everyone should listen to that station. You know, they broadcast my show at some weird time of the day. and I've been listening to them steadily for their entire existence, basically. I love it. But how do people find you? When is it on? Where can they find you if you're not in Winnipeg?
They can find the show on Tuesdays 6:30 to 8 on UMFM 101.5, and there's also an archive on the website where you can find a bunch of the interviews and some of the program shows that I've done.
Okay.
And I've also got an Instagram social media where I post every interview that I do, and like the sets, so you can definitely check there.
Cool.
If you're interested in checking out the show. Yeah,
and how many interviews do you have approximately at this point? Like, how deep is the archive? Because I've ventured into it, but I've usually, I mean, I shouldn't admit this because I would prefer people didn't do this on my own show. But I've mostly listened to people I've heard of and people whose music I'm familiar with. So I've kind of picked and chose. I intend to go back and actually check out the ones I don't know because that's sort of the best thing to do with a music show.
Yeah.
But like, how deep is the archive?
I think the archive is pretty like. I think it's past 100 shows at this point,
nice.
Maybe like 130 or something, which is kind of insane.
It's a lot, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's even past that number for like people that I've interviewed, which is actually kind of insane. Like for like program sets, like that number kind of rises, but like interviewing over 100 people,
yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely an accomplishment for sure. I mean, especially starting out and just sort of almost falling into the idea of interviewing someone because of, you know, like you said, you were just sort of approached, hey, could you want to do an interview? And now you're at 100 and some episodes deep. That's cool. Yeah.
And I guess like the whole prospect of that is kind of terrifying, but I think if I can kind of like, if someone's listening to an interview, if I'm interviewing somebody, if I can kind of like provide a snapshot of like the artist as they are, like as like a person or how, where they are in their career.
Yeah.
That I've essentially done my job.
Totally. Like,
I'm kind of like a facilitator, I guess. And also if like the person listening of him, oh, like this person has like terrible questions, whatever. I like how like you can, I love programming sets where like the music can kind of like explain what necessarily the interview can't.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a cheesy sentiment, but like, yeah.
I know what you
and,
mean.
Like,
yeah.
I'm just one guy too. It's like, you can listen to a bunch of different interviews of like the same person. So I'm kind of like the white of many kind of thing, which is pretty cool.
I think that's sort of the best thing about, you know, things like podcasts and Cabs Community Radio and all of this DIY sort of radio shows is the idea that people are out there interviewing artists that maybe aren't getting the type of attention they deserve, first of all, or aren't getting attention from sort of a wider, broader audience. And it's sort of making this stuff available. And yeah, the fact that this exists floating around the internet somewhere, you know, in perpetuity, someone could find that artist's music, discover your interview, and then go find your show and realize, oh, wait, there's hundreds of these now. I'm going to go discover like my new favorite jazz artist.
Yeah. And it's like, there's always like room to improve in terms of like questions, like in terms of like being more articulate, kind of listening more or like speaking slowly, that kind of thing. So that kind of like keeps it interesting. And it doesn't give me the existential dread that necessarily like music school could have given me.
Sure.
I guess. Because it's like, I don't know, it's always a room to improve in terms of like just talking to somebody, which is, you can always improve that.
Totally.
So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah. I'm 900 and something episodes in, and I have plenty of things I can improve for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, so it's just like, I don't know.
Especially talking fast. Just, yeah. And interrupting people.
Yeah. Yeah. We're guilty as charged.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. So yeah. If someone wants to hear the group, wants to hear the quartet, the good thing about being a podcast is they could hear it the day it comes out, or they could hear it, you know, I'm going to keep doing the show forever. So it could be like 5 years from now, a year and a half, whatever. What's the best way to find out where you're up to as far as potential upcoming shows? Maybe by the time someone finds this, you will have recorded something. what's the best way to keep track of what's happening with the Wild Rice Quartet?
I guess the current one is probably Facebook or Instagram. Those are probably the best things to figure out what we're doing. And I guess like if we have a gig, then the gig person will probably post it on their website.
Yeah, so, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
And is that, do you have an Instagram and then Facebook like specifically for the group too?
No.
No, just under your own name?
Yeah, under my own name.
Cool, cool. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, at the time we're recording this, which is, you know, getting into late July here, do you have anything coming up as far as shows? Like, are there any shows on the horizon that you have booked or are hoping to have booked?
I've got one in Portage la Prairie. We're playing October October 20th at St. Mary's.
Okay.
So we're playing there for a bit. And I think that's pretty much about it, I guess. And if anything else comes up, then we'll figure out what happens.
Yeah, yeah, cool, cool. And people can check out the Facebook and the Instagram and find you there. And I'd obviously listen to the show. Do you want to plug the show one more time when people can hear it and where they can hear it?
Yeah, if you'd like to hear, I guess, the show, Tuesdays, 6:30 to 8 on UFM 101. Okay, I'm going to say this one more time.
Yeah, go for
slowly.
It.
Slowly.
Go for it.
Yeah, okay. If you want to hear the show, Canadiana Suite, Tuesdays, 6:30 to 8 at UMFM 101.5 or on the website, and you can check out the archive link on the website.
Awesome.
Yeah. There, cool. I got it there.
You nailed it. Yeah. Excellent.